Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest Anfield Index Under Pressure podcast. Welcome to the day after, the day before. We are going to be talking about going out of the FA Cup at Old Trafford, as well as the Sparta Prague match. And I do have not, I don't have the full team this week, because Bartz is actually snowed under with work. So he's ducked out of this one. I don't know. I think he might be still licking his wounds after the United game. He doesn't want to talk about it yet. But I do have Si, and I do have Hamza. Evening, chaps.
Evening, Darth.
Hello.
Right, and we should get straight into it, actually. But, you know, we'll try and get the Sparta game done reasonably good time. Because this, let's be honest, Hamza. I mean, this was a dead rubber. This is the definition of a dead rubber, this match, because we were 5-1 up from the away leg. So how did we approach it? Let's start with those lineups. How did we approach it?
The lineup's quite surprising given that the aggregate score after the first leg. A few names that you'd expect to see. So, Kwanza, Kelleher, Bobby Clark, and then Ngakpo, I guess. And the rest were like, sort of starters. So, yeah. Bradley at right back, Kwanza centre back with Gomez, Robertson at left back, Endo Sobers like, Clark midfield. And then the real surprise was Salah starting, Nunez down the middle, and Gakpo completing the front three. And yeah, you could call it a dead rubber, but then I don't know what would be like appropriate to call the match after 7 minutes, like a deader rubber, or after 8 minutes, the deadest rubber. And then you run out of superlatives by the time Salah scored the third.
Well, there was a very famous sketch back in the 1970s called the Dead Parrot sketch, Monty Python. I don't know if you're familiar with Monty Python, Hamza, just for the future reference.
We did this exact reference at school, actually. I know the sketch.
The Dead Parrot sketch.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. So yeah, this was dead, and it was even more dead after 14 minutes, and it was 4-0. Bart isn't here to do the stats pack, so I'm just going to give it very quickly on this one. It was 72% possession for us. Field tilt was 73-27 in our favour. 22 shots to 9. 12 shots on target to 2. 19 shots in the box to 2. 6 big chances to 0. Good God. I mean, that's just unheard of. 6 goals, obviously 6-1 on the scoreboard. And the XG was 3.7 for us, 0.4 for them. So a match differential of plus 3.3. XT was 1.5 for us, 0.4 for them. So, yeah, it's an absolute... I think, Si, that is a statistical shellacking.
It's as big a shellacking as you're going to get.
Yeah. And it played out like that on the in the pitch with that start, didn't it? It was literally men against boys.
It really felt like staff against fifth years at school or something.
Brian Glover in Kess.
Ah, oh, weirdly, yeah.
and Bobby Charlton.
Oh my God! And the staff of the school happened to have two ex footballer PE teachers who brought in two of their mates who'd won the Champions League. Weirdly, happened at my school,
And some of the pupils weren't allowed to play because they might have been too good, so they were like they were sent home and they had to do stay in the changing room and do lines.
Yeah. So we were good, but they were terrible. They looked completely outclassed. They looked nervous. We've talked many times about how the lesser teams in the Champions League and Europa League, they're so used to winning, they can't set up to defend in any other way. So they just try and win in a more conservative way than they do typically, but they're still trying to create from the back and stuff. And and they're just a really poor version of Bournemouth under Eddie Howe. And we just pick them off inside their own box four times in the first 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Basically. And we didn't have to create anything. We just gave them the ball and then took it off them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, saying that, that you know, it was like taking candy from a baby. But it was nice that one of the people doing the taking was a 19-year-old kid, Bobby Clark, who it's testament to the training we do and the way the academy play, isn't it? That they come in and this is about fifth or sixth start, and he looks like he knows all the routines and the triggers already. It's incredible, isn't it, Kasai, the coaching that's gone into these youngsters to know what to do.
They press in the same way. That's just it, right, all the way down. They don't always play in the same formation. I find people that look into academy prospects and different academies and try to replicate academies, they miss the actual important part components of replicating the first team, and they'll just whatever the first team is playing on paper in formation is how we're supposed to play, and that's just not it at all. They utilize the principles, the golden threads of the first team, the immovable tactical situations, triggers, challenges of their training to nurture the qualities that are needed for the first team. And they set up further down this, the system's not the same. The formation's different depending on who's playing on each team. So they won't just always have the fastest finisher as a right winger. They might be the center forward like with Dan's, or they might be the left winger and then they'll alter throughout. But the core threads of how we press, how we contain and how we block the same.
Yeah. Yeah. And Hamza, in the first goal, it was crystal clear with the roles of Clark and Connor Bradley, wasn't it? The way that those two pressed together to create space for Szoboszlai to exploit. You on mute, Hamza?
Sorry, I was on mute.
Yeah.
Was that the first goal or the second goal? Sorry.
No, it was the space. They created the space for the Szoboszlai cutback, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Sorry, you are right. I was just flicking through it now. But the way they move around is quite nice. Clark moves into the box, drags his player with him, then casually sort of runs across the face of the box towards the ball, opens himself up, then feeds a pass out wide to Szoboszlai, and he plays the really nice.
Bradley play. Comes inside. Bradley comes inverts as well to draw another defender inside as well, doesn't he? Away from Szoboszlai. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really sort of nice sequence, and it's made a bit easier when you have players like Salah on your team as well. Just because, for example, in this sequence, as soon as he moves into the box, two of the Spartak players just immediately sort of move towards him because they know he's the biggest threat on the pitch. And it just gives him a little bit extra space for Clark to move around into and then pass into Szoboszlai if he makes a cutback. But yeah. That's about it.
Yeah, they look like fully functioning members of our system.
They did. Yeah, that's the highest praise you can give them, isn't it, Si?
Weirdly with Clark, right? So I don't know how much we public know about him, but if you remember his dad, I know they're always, this is the last time I'm going to talk about him, but
Lee Clark.
Yeah, the guy that introduced the players in the stadium called him Lee Clark when he announced that, which was amusing. And then he corrected himself, realised what he'd done, giggled and corrected himself. But
You were at this game, weren't you?
I was at this game, yeah. That Lee Clark started out as a 10, right? He was the best player. He was the best player probably of his generation from a... He was... If you're old enough to remember Joe Cole coming through, Joe Cole was an absolute phenom. Everybody in Europe knew who he was. He was going to be Roberto Baggio. And he was phenomenal. And he had a really good career. You can't deny he had a really good career and turned into a twat. But he did. And before that, Lee Clark, he was a spectacular talent, right? And he came in as a 10 for Keegan. And over the first 5 years of his career, worked his way into what we would see as an 8, and then even worked back to a 6. Hmm. But he became more and more disciplined as he aged, and out of being a flamboyant, wanting to be a continental 10. And Bobby Clark is very much like his dad from a fantasy perspective. He does want to make the final pass. He does want to slam a ball home from 40 yards. He wants the big moment. He wants to nutmeg you. If he can line a defender up and stick it between the legs, that's what he wants to do on a football pitch. But because he's been under Klopp's Liverpool for the last 2 years, 3 years, the emphasis of his coaching has been very much on system and discipline and doing the stuff without the ball. And he looks absolutely brilliant at that stuff. He genuinely reminds me of Ginny. He's doing the Ginny role right now, the 3 years ago Ginny role in this team. Yeah. Don't give the ball away. The things that CJ has been tasked with over the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Let's curtail the fantasy in your game, the risk in your game, until you know exactly when we are least susceptible we are least vulnerable for you to create that fantasy. Take that risk when we don't, when we're safe. And so he is condensed his game. His game looks much smaller than it does at the younger ages. And he's retaining possession. His possession control is really good. He is going out and he's busting a nut. He was on for like 30, he's on for nearly 13K per 90.
Wow. I want to say he does look very athletic, I have to say.
Never stops running. Yeah. And it's always fast.
Yeah, 93% passing as well from him in this game.
Yeah, just tidy. He's not trying to kill anybody with his dribbling, which he's really good at. And he's kind of taken that back a little bit just to make sure. And he's currently just making sure with confidence, but he's not doing any crazy, scary stuff.
Yeah.
And he's pressing from the right angles with uber intensity. And this game encapsulates that.
Yeah. And Hamza, just to finish this, because there was the actual goal itself was very nice as well. There was a lovely, hard, low cutback from Szoboszlai and a really nice finish from Nunes.
Yeah, it was really nicely taken. It can be quite difficult to convert that. But
the hot streak continues.
It can be a bit difficult to convert that chance just because you've got to get, make sure that you strike cleanly. And he's gone for the near post. And usually when the ball's coming across you, it's easier to sweep across your body to the far post. But he's controlled it really well. But yeah, the hot streak did continue. And then he sort of missed a couple of the big chances. It was a really nice strike. And he makes the finish look easier than it is because I think it is. It looks deceptively easy, but he's taken it really well.
The hot streak did continue at the start of the match, and by the end of the match, he'd actually underperformed his XG in the game when he had one from 1.4 XG. But let's do the second and third ones quickly. We're not going to do the whole match, but the second and third ones. So with the Salah, Clark, but the roles were reversed in terms of the pressing wins and then the simple finishes. So yeah, both of them were very nice, weren't they? Third one I thought was particularly nice, the Clark one. Because Mo just does his, he probably thinks it's quite easy. You're closing down somebody who's not that good on the ball playing for Sparta Prague. It's a lot easier than closing down players of Barcelona and Bayern Munich like he was doing a few years back, isn't it, Hamza?
Yeah. But yeah, both examples, I think, ideally, from a Sparta Prague perspective, you just want to avoid this. You can see even before the second goal, you can see where the pressing trap is, and the player is wary to play into it. And in his reluctance and hesitancy, he himself loses the ball. So he doesn't actually get to play into the trap. He just, yeah. but yeah, then the next one, it's a really good tackle by Bobby Clark, and then Salah just gets a run onto it. Yeah, these are the sort of risks that you shouldn't be taking against Liverpool at Anfield. You probably should look to hit the wide areas pretty quickly in your build-up phase.
Yeah,
and even if you are passing out from the back, you don't really want to be lingering on the ball in the half spaces when Liverpool are pressing. Ideally, yeah, you should do what City learned to do from 2019 onwards, right? Just
build up down the sides.
Avoid the middle. But yeah.
Yes. So I guess the main talking point from this match, Si, is it's just the day-to-day brilliance of Mohamed Salah. I mean, we can say it's only Sparta at home, but goodness me, this is, if you're talking about we're a stats show, this is one of the best stats performances you will ever see from a player.
Four big chances created, three assists, and a goal from two shots. He's just phenomenal. I saw a tweet go around last week about who is Mount Rushmore for Liverpool. My feeling is the Mount Rushmore for Liverpool would be managers, because we're a manager. More than
all time was this,
yeah, all time, and it's really hard to not impose recency bias in this, because how do you factor in our greats that you've never seen before, or that I was three when they were in?
Yeah,
but Mo Salah is definitely fighting his way onto the Mount Rushmore for Liverpool, and Liverpool have had great players in not in the TikTok term of reinventing language, actual great players.
Yeah.
And he is one of them.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour, no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Yeah. And the weird thing is, Si, is that this might actually be, statistically at least, his greatest season.
Greatest ramble, for sure.
Yeah. He achieved something extremely rare after this match, which was his, for the whole, the 23-24 season so far, which is what, about 2,400 minutes, something like that?
Yeah, 2007.
0.5 expected assists per 90 minutes. I mean, that is, Kevin De Bruyne has done it once, Neymar's done it once, Messi's only done it once. And I think Thomas Muller somehow did it once at one time when he was maybe setting up assists for Lewandowski one time. But yeah, that is a kind of rarefied in the top five leagues, a company that he's keeping. He the rate he's doing stuff at this season is probably the best he's ever done it at, say, right?
Yeah, from a creative perspective, for sure. And probably if you look at the shot volume, because his shot volume is the lowest of his Liverpool career as well.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that he's still top scorer by such a distance, it's kind of remarkable. Klopp said something about him the other day that I think over the course of his career at Liverpool, Mo has been the player Klopp has been least effusive about. So he's always downplayed Mo in relation to Sadio, in relation to Bobby. And then as we go along, he always picks out other players, Virgil, whatever. And it's not like he's insulting Mo at all. It's just that he gets the claim. I never actually think he gets anywhere near the acclaim that he deserves in a British media. He is more famous for being a diver than he is for being a great player. But that's how the British media go. But last week he talks in his return in the first game back. It was like that he was on for 20 minutes and he instantly his genius is on show. That's what he said. And I've never seen him speak about him in that way. And then he got tired. Yeah. That's what happened. And in this game, it's just his genius was just there. His touch. It's really easy. We've talked about before the connection between when Virgil stopped making a long switch and when Virgil's not on the pitch and Mo's not on the pitch, which it happened 2 years ago, you miss out on one really incredibly valuable output for us, which is that cross-field switch from Virgil 50 yards to Mo, instantly dead, exactly where he needs it to be.
Yeah.
And like that is... It's genuine football genius. And we've just taken it for granted because we see it five times a game. His first touch is phenomenal.
Yeah. So he's got 33 goal involvements by mid-March, having missed, what, 7-8 weeks of the season with AFCON and injury, which is just remarkable. And he only needs two more goal involvements to beat his tally in the title season, which just seems remarkable.
I like it when you're saying nice things about him.
No, you just have to say it's just the routine brilliance of Mohamed Salah, the way I would put it. It's just everyday brilliance,
every season brilliance, everyday brilliance, every week brilliance.
Oh yeah, and
brilliance.
He got the record, didn't he? First Liverpool player ever to get 20 goals and assists 20 goals 7 seasons in a row.
Yeah.
And Rushy didn't get it because he left for Juventus, I think, didn't he?
He could be the first 2020 for us this season.
Wow. Now, Hamza, somebody posed me a really interesting question on Twitter and about the 0.5 expected assists. And they said, do you think there's something about him playing alongside an actual nine like Nunes versus a false nine like Bobby, too, which is why Mo's expected assists and actual assists are so much higher this season. Because he's always been that really rare breed who've got the goal return and the creativity, which is always what set him apart. But this season, his creativity numbers are the best of his career, right? What do you think about that? The idea that is it because he's playing with a nine, an actual nine, that's helping?
I think there's some truth in that. I also think it's down to a couple of other things as well. One being the system has changed and the other thing that he has changed. But to the original point, I would actually weigh that quite highly within this sort of balance of three sort of things. When you've got a player that's just statistically in terms of XA, the way it's calculated, at the pass reception point, if you've got a player that's breaking into the box more, and you're passing to them, you are going to register XA. If, for example, you're playing with a false nine and you're not the player that's going to be passing infield from wide positions, and rather you're the player running infield from those wide positions and someone's passing to you, and it'd be Firmino, right? Then you're going to get less XA. However, I think everyone can also agree that having watched Salah over this entire period, and whilst his role has changed, you can also understand that he's always had vision, but it's a quality that he's honed and improved upon over the past few years in particular. Because if you look at when he arrived in 2017, I just don't think you would have seen him trying to pick out as many passes. But I also reckon he probably understood his role on the team a bit different too. He imagined himself principally as a goal scorer. And especially when he's chasing the golden boot, then he really sort of focused on just scoring goals. I think there's a few elements there. I think it's a perfectly valid and correct point that having a conventional nine in Nunez, especially, and that's helped as well because Nunez is not just a conventional nine. He gets loads of chances. He gets loads of shots off. He breaks lines a lot. I mean, he's offside a lot, but he does make a lot of runs in behind, which makes him a sort of easier target to actually hit if you've got the vision for that. So yeah, it's a combination, I think.
Yeah. So I looked at this as well. And do you know the second best season of his career for expected assists behind this one?
21-22.
Well, it might not be with Liverpool.
Oh really?
It might actually be with Roma. When who was centre forward, Si?
Dzeko.
Edin Dzeko. And that was the season Salah got 11 assists in 2,500 minutes, which is remarkable, and 0.36 per 90 minutes, which is the second highest expected assist rate of his career.
Could I add a layer of context to that?
Yeah, sure.
This number nine thing, Darwin thing, maybe the number nine thing more than the Darwin component. It depends what we're looking at as output. If you look at XA, okay, Darwin. Yeah, because that doesn't involve Darwin. That just involves Mo passing to somebody. Who shoots a lot. But if we're looking at assists, it's the opposite. Because Mo's created 15 big chances for Darwin this season. Do you know how many he scored?
Three or four?
Two.
Savage.
So if he'd have converted at 40%,
he would have had another six assists. Yeah. And what were you saying before we started, Si, about Salah's big chances created for the season?
28
in all comps. Yeah,
28. Well, wow. No, because I don't even count the Mini Mouse Cubs.
I'm just looking at on Fantasy Football Scout now. I'm just looking for the big chances created now. In the Premier League only, Salah is too clear of Hyunmin Son, who's got 17, despite playing 300 more minutes. And he's five clear of Saka, who's played 500 more minutes. And do you know who's fourth or joint third?
Trent
with 14 in 18 minutes. So Trent's the only one who can match Salah in terms of the rate he's getting the big chances per 90, yeah.
And the rate at which Darwin misses his big chances. not to pick on Darwin, but literally, you can't talk about big chances of these two creation and output without mentioning how many of... It's literally those two's creations that he misses.
Yeah. So just want to wrap up with a couple of stats. It was... 11-2 on aggregate, which is the second largest winning margin in a Europa League tie. The record was actually a 10-goal margin, and it was, I think it was Valencia beating Rapid Vienna 10-0 over two legs. And ours was 11-2. There's only ever been one other 9-goal aggregate win as well before today.
Rafa's Valencia?
Was it Rafa's Valencia? Let me find out the season.
I think it must have been. Well, I think they continue to be good.
2015-16.
Oh, Jesus.
2015-16, they beat Rapid Vienna 10-0 on aggregate. And the other 9-goal one was Lyon, who beat AZ Alkmaar of the Netherlands for 11-2 on aggregate, so the same as us. So we got another 11-2. Yeah, so, yeah, a bit of a hammering over the two legs there. I do want to just talk on, Si, how did we get ourselves in a bit of a pickle with our substitutions in this match. How did we end up with Zobo and Dom, Zobo and Mo, the two players were trying to manage most playing the full 90s, and also Connor Bradley and Andy Robertson?
Right. So you can't look, if you look through this snapshot of time, this one game as a one-off, all of the, there's so many decisions look weird. But if you create the context of where they've come from and where they're intending to go to as a jigsaw, then it kind of unfolds and you can kind of just about see what the plan was and where the deviations arose and how they arose. So Mo came into this game having played 60 minutes in the previous 4 weeks, basically. And so he played 21, 39. So he needed a 55, 60-ish minutes in this game. Problem, we had injuries popping up. We also had an accumulation of minutes for significant players, like Joe Gomez has suddenly played ungodly number of minutes in the last 3 weeks. So Joe Gomez has played nearly 700 minutes in 3 weeks.
Fucking hell.
So he can't play.
Fucking hell. 700 minutes in 3 weeks.
Which is a third of a Joe Gomez season.
I know, in 3 weeks. Fucking hell.
And Endo is becoming a key player for us now, isn't he? So we need his availability, and he just come off 198 minutes in two games in a week, basically. And who else came off? Darwin.
The two centre backs both came off, yeah.
But at 45.
Mm.
So they were planned to come off at 45. Which then leaves you two more subs.
Yeah.
But then we get a bit of an injury. So that takes an extra sub away. And then you're left with one. And who's coming off? So probably Zobo is coming off at that point.
Clark is the one who gets injured, isn't he?
Yeah. And then Bobby Clark comes off. So it was like Zobo or Mo. Mo needs to come off because he's of a slightly greater risk, though Zobo shouldn't be playing a whole game yet. And the position he's playing in the pitch, Zobo's more high intensity than Mo, but Mo's a much significant risk. And then so they were bringing Mo off probably later than they should because they know they only have one sub left. So you're playing at risk. But then if you put the game context in, so what if you're finishing with 10 men?
Yeah, we could have played with 10 men, couldn't we?
Yeah. They were preparing Mo to come on, and then Bobby Clark twisted his ankle right in front of the touchline. It ended up being Bobby instead. And there comes the famous don't bother defending Mo. But can I just appease everybody that weren't in the ground for that game? It was the least intense game you will ever see. Lads were walking around. Mo Salah covered just
so not all minutes played are equal. Is that what you're suggesting?
Not all minutes are equal. I think we talked about this before, that how performance staffs look at GPS data, movement data for players is 5 minute intensity blocks. The 5 minute intensity blocks for the first two 5 minutes will be double any other minute in that game. The drop off was absolutely massive. Literally, players were walking around all over the place. Not in a pejorative way. Just that I'd be amazed if Mo did three sprints after the 12th minute. So his minutes were really high. His game load wasn't.
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.